Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics. Every single week, we will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. Tonight, I thought we were going to do it on self-importance and how to get free from being self-important. And so I may share a little bit about that. But next week, we're going to really start dealing with that topic. I believe tonight we're going to finish up on this series right now on judging and being the judge. And so I'm going to tell you really quickly, if you heard my Facebook Live today, you heard some of it. I'm not going to tell all that again, so you can go watch that. But I sincerely believe, I know in my life, I live a very prophetic life. Things that happen to me, things that happen in my family, things that happen in this church, things that even happen to my dog, there's really, honestly, usually a prophetic something God's trying to say to us. And can I tell you, our God is very prophetic. He's always speaking. Everything he's created, every law he's made, every natural law he's made, everything says something about God. Amen? And so when we begin to be people to really want to hear what God is speaking to us and learn his ways, it's amazing how deep things go in him and in his heart. And you'll be amazed if you go there how much you'll receive the promises of God and the healing of God and all these kind of things. And so tonight's teaching came about in a kind of strange way. I knew we've been doing it on judging, but I kind of thought, okay, I've done most of the topic on judging that I felt led to preach on a Tuesday night. And how many know the Lord has other ideas? Amen. And so I'm going to tell you how he got me to this. I did this a little bit today, and I'm telling you this for one thing, for a couple reasons. People need to know how to go deeper in God. Amen? People need to know that we have this God that actually, he can even hide things in his word and hide things, and if we're hungry, we seek him out and we find those things. Amen? And we'll have our answers. And it's not that he's trying to play games with us. It's that God has one intention. Get this. Holy Spirit who lives inside of you, if you're a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit who came to live inside of you, if you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he has one agenda. And you may think that agenda that he has is saving the world. But actually, the agenda he has when he came inside of us, let me say this, if God wanted to save the whole world, how many know that he could do something right now that the entire world would have to pay attention and know he was real? Amen? So God, he so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever wants to be in the kingdom of God, whoever wants God as God and to be in the family of God, every person has that opportunity. Amen? But God's not forcing that on anybody, and we should maybe quit trying to force it on people. If you really know that what you have is the greatest privilege and the greatest honor in all creation, and you've been fortunate enough and blessed enough to find Jesus Christ as Lord, then you shouldn't be begging people to find him. Amen? You should be living the life, revealing him, and trusting that people are going to want the God that you serve. Amen? And just really going after God's heart. So anyway, I was telling the Lord, I broke a tooth, I don't know, right before Thanksgiving. What a not fun thing. Well, on the good part of it is it has never hurt. And, you know, I went to the dentist. I mean, I broke this tooth like the whole back is gone. Like the dentist was like, oh my, there's like no tooth hardly here. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't want one of those fake teeth if I can help it. And I don't want a root canal. I don't want it to get worse. Amen. And so I'm like, okay, even though it didn't hurt when I kind of felt that a big chunk of tooth was gone, I thought I need to go to the dentist. Okay, so let me say this. Let's not be so hyper-spiritual that we don't do all that we know to do. Amen? To walk out what God has for us, okay? God loves me. He really isn't bothered if I decide to go to the dentist and get my tooth fixed. Amen? Amen? And I said this morning. I had a really good friend, and she was a minister. She had a ministry. She was in broadcast. Her name was Kathy. We went to Israel together. Wonderful woman of God. Loved God. But her mother and her sister have both had breast cancer. I don't know if one, I think her mother died from it, I believe. I'm not sure of details. I'm not sure about her sister. But she made an inner vow that she was never going to go through chemotherapy. She made that inner vow. And so she chose to believe that God was telling her not to do chemo, not to do the medical route. Now, they caught the cancer so early that it was pretty much guaranteed that it was treatable if she would go through chemotherapy. And truthfully, most of the people who know her, most of the people in the church who have any maturity, really encouraged her to do what the doctor showed her to do. And she really refused. And I got involved after she had already had the cancer, or I met her maybe once before that. And actually, I think that's the reason the Lord had us go to Israel. And we were sharing some of these things, and I really see the bondage that people can get in when they think they have to make God do it the way that works the easiest for them. Amen? And there's so many spiritual laws. There's so many spiritual laws. And it's like, how can I know all the spiritual laws? You can't. But you have the mind of Christ. You have Holy Spirit in you who has created every law that there is. Natural law or spiritual law was created by God. Amen? And so you need him to show you what to do and how to do it. He has to order your steps. He has to make a way where there seems to be no way. And in our part is to keep growing in our relationship with God and watching our faith build and to be in his word and studying his word. And one of the keys to relationship with God and real faith is never what you know in your brain. So, and I've actually had to used to listen to music, worship music, to stand going to the dentist. That's how much I didn't like the dentist. So this time I said, you know what, Lord? You need to teach me something, because there's no way this thing could pop out like this while I'm waiting for this crown thing. So teach me some more. Why can my tooth do this? What's happening? And so I studied some regular scriptures on teeth and all this stuff. Okay, so back up a little bit. And part of what God is having me do tonight is get you hungry to hear him, really walk with him and have a real relationship with him that's not fear-based but faith-based, and knowing he's got it. You know, he'll take care of it. You know, however he takes care of it, he'll take care of it. And so anyway, so I said, okay, Lord. Well, I didn't go back for another filling. I've gone 2 weeks without a filling. I just stuck some dental wax or something in there. Doesn't hurt, praise God. And I don't suggest it. I'm just telling you what I did. And I said, God, I want you to give me a creative miracle. And I'm waiting on God. And I will honestly tell you, I have no problem at all believing that God could and wouldn't mind giving me a creative miracle. Amen? Amen. Like, it's not ever, with me anyway, even a little bit of a problem believing in his power and even in his will. It's not a problem for me to believe in his power or his will. Amen? He's a healer. There's no question. But I have learned that he's going to deal with things the way he wants to deal with things and where I'm really at and what he's going to do. So I just embrace it. Okay, Lord, what are we going to do with this? And so every day, though, in faith, I feel, you know, my tongue feels that tooth to say, is it growing? And I'm thinking, maybe it's growing some. Maybe, you know, I was like, okay, it's not growing, Lord. All right. So finally, I'm like, okay, I'm going to the dentist. You know, they've got to speed up. They couldn't see me for 2 months, which is crazy. I'm going overseas in between. There's no way I personally want to go overseas with my half of a tooth. So I'm asking God, show me. And I'm telling you this, and I think this will really help you and everyone. You have to go deeper to get to the same victory that you got before. Why? Because Holy Spirit is more concerned about you becoming one with Christ. Holy Spirit is like, okay, whatever trouble comes, because Jesus promised there'll be trouble, I want this person to go deeper in God. I want this person to understand their God. I want this person to fall in love with Jesus. I want this person to have a real communication with God. Does everybody get it? God knows heaven is great. He's not afraid for us to get there. Amen? And Holy Spirit knows, I am the sanctifier. I need to make them holy because God is holy. And I want them to fellowship with God because Jesus Christ died so that they could be reunited or connected with God and have a real relationship with God. And the Father loves the Son and what the Son has done so much. He wants these people to be the bride of his Son. And he wants them to be holy because he's holy. So that's all Holy Spirit's thinking about for the most part. In the process of that, people get saved. Everywhere you go. Amen? Your family can't help but to know he's real. They may not be ready for him yet, but they know he's real. Amen? And so anyway, so I'm reading this book on Enoch. And it's the actual, it's actually the scriptures that they found on Enoch. And they're paraphrased, and the person who did it has done a very good job, and he cross-matches with scripture. Now, and if you don't know who Enoch is very hardly spoken of in scripture at all, but he talks about he was so close to God that he was no more. This man has such a close relationship with God in a time and season when people were not close to God. But this man was so hungry to be a friend of God and to be close to God that God just like, come on, I'm not even sending you back to earth. You're just going to stay up here with me on this next visitation. And there's not that much about him. And then Jesus mentions him, and it's mentioned in the book of Jude. So you know there is something important about this guy. So I'm reading this, okay? And it's anointed. And I'm not even thinking about the tooth. I kind of said, okay, I'm just going to the dentist. I think I'd already made the appointment. Or didn't make the appointment, but I called. And I'm reading it. And last night, the Lord's like, woke me up at 2 a.m. I'd already read it for a while. And I read, and it talked about a broken tooth, that God broke the tooth of the wicked. And then it took it back to Psalms. I said, okay, what are the chances that I would just happen to be reading this book of Enoch, which Jesus recognizes as scripture, and you talk about a broken tooth? I searched the whole scriptures for broken teeth scriptures, and here you take me to the Enoch, because I already looked at the other ones, and then it took me to Psalms, which is this guy, he cross-references to show you where it's at. So now you ready for this? I'm telling you all this because we're actually going to get to the topic. I better get there fast. I just love God. When you get something like that at 2 or 3 a.m, whatever, you're like, God, you're so amazing. Who would have thought, how could I be right at the place in Enoch? You know, I'm glad I was sensitive. I'm glad you rebuked me for not spending 2 or 3 hours in the Word and studying these things you have me studying. I'm glad that you drew me and stirred me. And who knows, if I read this over the weekend, we would have been there by now. And so I'm like praising God. And so I said, well, let me study this out. And so I'm studying this thing out. And here it is. All right. In Infinity, it's 1:2. Psalms 3:7. So I went to Psalms 3:7 in the Amplified Plus. And it says, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked. And then as I was looking that up in the King James to see what the word shattered meant, it took me to this word that was scrutinize. And I'm thinking, Lord, how could you get me to this word, scrutinize? So I looked up the word to scrutinize. Do you know what that means? It means to investigate very detailed with the intention of finding fault. How many have watched them doing that to our president? I mean, the man can't do anything. I mean, even if you don't like him, by now you should have a little bit of compassion for what this man has put up with. Does anybody want to reap the kind of seeking people are to try to find something to destroy him with? And so the Lord said to me, you know, Cindy, when you scrutinize and you are critical, you have become the judge of someone with evil intentions. And you are actually trying to find something wrong. And the Lord began to show me areas. He had already shown me some stuff about the tooth, and I mocked some of the things the Holy Spirit did in a Pentecostal meeting years ago, putting crowns in people's teeth. And I was just so full of my own arrogant self that I thought, you know, why is everybody looking at everybody's mouth? And this is kind of gross. And, you know, and I was just so repented of all that. And I'm like, okay, God, right now it'd be really nice. I'm looking in the mirror going, please, Lord, put, crown it, fix it, make a new. And I was just so arrogant in how I handled the way that ministry, how they handled God putting crowns in people's teeth and doing dental work. And I started thinking, Lord, who am I? Here, that's such a powerful healing. Lord, if we could take that kind of anointing and go to the Philippines and go to India and go to places where there is no dental care, how powerful is that? Or for people who have struggled with their teeth. And I'm thinking, Lord, how many have ever let God show you and realize, how does he still love me? Isn't he amazing? How does he still use me? How does he still anoint me? How does he still come and hang out with me? He's amazing. His mercy is amazing. Amen. His love is so unconditional. But true holiness comes when I recognize where I wasn't seeing things. I was already repented and dealt with that, but all of a sudden I'm seeing this and I'm like, Lord, this is amazing, because I was going to teach something else. And now you're showing me, no, I haven't finished with dealing with the judgmental parts of your heart. People, I don't know about you. I don't want to be the judge anymore. I want critical gone. I want judgment. And something I said to help people, like, well, the Bible says to judge, you know, in the house of God, right? It says that. Okay. The difference there is it means you don't look the other way when people are hypocrites. You don't look the other way when people are not living the life and they're coming in and being divisive or whatever's happening. What you do is you seek the Lord and he will give you instruction. Amen? He will give you instruction. Why? He's the only one who knows our heart. He's the only one who knows if they're really trying to be free or if they're playing games with everybody. He's the only one who knows if there's about to be a breakthrough for that person and they need encouragement, or if they're seriously just a tear. Amen? He's the only one who knows. He's the only one who knows if they need to quit having the church enable them and be separated for a season so that they'll get real with God. Amen? He's the only one that knows. Can everybody say, he is the only one who knows?
He's the only one who knows.
He's the only one who knows your heart. You don't even know your heart. All you know about your heart is what he shows you about your heart. Amen? Amen? I thought my heart was much better than my heart is. Amen. I remember years ago, I said, God, show me my heart, because I was reading about David and I thought he was going to show me great things. And I literally had this flashback that looked like Hitler and Charles May, every horrific person, an evil person there ever was, flashed through my mind really quickly. And I'm like, oh my gosh, God, how wicked is our hearts? And I said, God, how can you still love me? And I said, get these things out of my heart. Amen? Get these things out of my heart. Why do you think so much of the New Testament is letters telling us what we need to get out of our hearts? Amen? And just, well, I'm in this whole revelation with God because it was just really good. I was reading Deuteronomy. I think I told you that on Sunday. Did anybody have a chance to look over Deuteronomy? Okay, well, if you look over some of Deuteronomy, I'm just going to be really honest here. If you really look at over Old Testament, like Deuteronomy, and some of these where God lays down the laws, does anybody kind of, I was reading it, and it's about made women like property of the men, and it told you if the man raped a woman, then instead of killing the man or anything, he's got to marry her. What if she doesn't want to marry a rapist man, you know? And it's all these horrible things, and I'm like, God. And there's things that are absolutely not going to happen, and you live, you know, there's this, I mean, it's like, I'm thinking, God, if anybody goes and they read about Moses and the whole bit of Moses and Deuteronomy and all this, they may not like you. I know the liberals would not be into this, God. I said, God, you kind of sound like people of another faith, as Heidi Baker would say, who live in this kind of bondage. Has anybody else ever had that thought? Has anybody ever else? See, I just talked to God about this stuff. I said, God, first of all, you're God, and whatever you say is real, and I'll submit to whatever you say, but I need to understand it. He says, Cindy, that's the curse. Go back to Genesis. The whole world went into a curse. Her curse was that she would be, her desire would be towards her husband, and he would rule over her. And she'd have problems in childbearing. And he, his curse is he's going to hate his job. He's going to be worn out from his job. He'll never make enough money. He'll have that responsibility. She'll never be taken care of well enough. The kids will always have needs. There's going to be a constant struggle. How many realize the world is under the curse?
Amen.
Okay. So they go, oh. So when I look at Old Testament and somebody asks me, how could God do this? I say, well, that's the curse. That's the curse that mankind came under when woman chose to be God for her own life, disobey God, eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil, and want to run the show. Then man chose not to lose Eve. So chose, hey, she's such a good thing, I don't let go of this. I mean, he found some of the awesome stuff God hid in this whole idea of relationship. So he decides, I'm going to do what she's doing. And she became an idol. So both of them were kicked out of the garden, right? Now, why does Eve have this kind of curse? The reason she has this kind of curse is because in the flesh, in a fallen world, men are stronger than women. And because of the makeup in men and the way they think, when they're in charge and when the enemy has influence, there's a lot of more violent and aggressive tendencies. Amen? And therefore, under the curse, he's going to rule over her. There's going to be violence. They're going to fight for the jobs. They're going to fight for this. You see what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? And so the curse happened because men and women chose to reason and think and make their own decisions. And so their flesh, and anybody knows, come on, y'all can say what you want. God's very clear in the scripture. Women can have a lot of influence based on sexuality. It's in the Word. Look at Samson and Delilah. Look at Adam and Eve. Look at the Bible. Look how God says, "What your dress was." All this stuff, right? Because it's real. In a fallen world, it's real. All these things the enemy can get a hold of, right? And so God knows all that. He didn't change the way He made us because of the fallen world. He came in. And he began to give us laws and all these ways to live to try to keep a people for himself. Okay, and that's a lot of powerful teaching. We're not going to get into all that. But you get what I'm saying, okay? So we go to the New Testament. When somebody gets saved, give them a New Testament. Tell them to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus set us free from the curse. He set us free from being abused. He set us free from being submissive in a demonic way to a man's tendency to control and to hurt. Amen? Men, he set you free from having to work hard and not be led by him to have financial breakthrough, okay? Get it. It's a freedom both ways. And if you look at the mess that's going on in the world today, everybody uses those two things for all this bondage that we're seeing all over the news, right? It's kind of amazing, isn't it? So God wants us to understand things from his perspective and his revelation. So anyway, so this, when the Lord said, I want you to get criticism out of your heart, and I want you to get the scrutinizing thing out of your heart. And then I want you to pray for this president. I want you, to break the power of what the enemy's doing with this. See, you cannot pray for anything that's still in your heart and be righteous. The prayers of the righteous prevail. The reason the church is not having more breakthrough, though she's having pretty much breakthrough right now, is because she is not that righteous. Because she's not let God deal with her heart issues. And so I said, oh God, this is so cool. We'll get to do this tonight, and then we'll break up and we'll have ministry groups, but we'll also have a group, a small group who wants to get together to pray this, and we'll do that. But how many know, even if you're not going to be interceding tonight, how many would like to get this out of their heart? And some people have it worse than others. That's okay. All right? We're not talking about who's the worst. I usually get that honor. But, you know, we're talking about getting the log out of our eyes so that we can then help others get the speck out of their eyes. It's kind of my ministry. Sunday, go get the log out of your eye. And they go help everybody get the speck out. Lord, this is kind of humbling. Yeah, I'm into that. Amen? And so I started letting the Lord show me, how do I evaluate everything? Now, there's scriptures, we won't have time to get into it tonight, but you can go look at them in Galatians and Philippians. There are things where we're supposed to scrutinize our own lives. We're supposed to evaluate and check our own faith. We're supposed to see where we're really at with God. We're supposed to see where we're really walking, amen? And then it says in those same scriptures, but don't compare yourself to others. Don't compare yourself to others. So we need to get free from comparing ourselves to others, amen? We need to get free from that. If you hear someone share about whatever with God, like their hunger for God or their healing from God, he's not asking you to compare yourself with that in a way to be envious or feel like God loves them more. He does that to stir in you a hunger to know God. Amen? A hunger to know God. So when I see people like Heidi Baker and Benny Hinn, different ones, it's like, no, I want to know you like that, God. I want to walk with you in such a place to be anointed like that. I want to have that kind of authority and power, God. Not not instead of them, amen, but with them, amen? And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to be stirred to this hunger by seeing God. That's why the whole scriptures are there. That's why so many examples are in scriptures. That's why he tells us that little bit about Enoch. Somebody get hungry enough to want to be no more and just hang out with Jesus. Somebody see what happened with Elijah and want that kind of hunger for that kind of power and authority, but also recognize the pitfalls of you know, moving into fear or pride. Amen? So all these things in the Word are true testimonies of real men and women to cause us to get before the Lord and let God deal with our heart issues. Amen? We don't have to pick somebody out who's not in the Word of God to deal with a heart issue, right? God will take us right to somebody in His Word to deal with that heart issue. Amen? Amen? Because as soon as we hear something before, I don't do this anymore. Praise God, He's setting me free. But you think about who needs this? God wants you to know you need this. Get the mirror. Hello, big mirror. Get rid of the hypocrisy. See that you need this. And then once you see that you need this, and once he sets you free from it, then you can go and help somebody else get free. Well, mine's so small. It doesn't matter. If it's yours, it's big. If it's yours, it's up close. Comparing yourself is just your way of feeling better about yourself instead of dealing with yourself. Amen. Well, I'm not as bad as them. Well, God isn't asking you to think about them. Amen. God's not asking you to compare yourself to them. He's asking you to come to Him. When we criticize and scrutinize, and when we look for something bad, this scrutinizing is an actual looking for something bad. And if you want to do a bigger follow-up, you can even look under evil eye, which you might really want to look at. It really has to do with an evil eye is where you're looking to see where you can take advantage of something or someone, and usually for financial gain. And God wants to get all that out of our hearts, and there's another bunch of teaching for that. Amen? But it's like, Lord, I don't want this anymore. And so how do we get rid of it? Number one, the way you get rid of anything is to agree with God about it. Lord, I agree with you that I don't want to be a wicked person that you have to break my teeth, which means break the bite out of me. Take that out of me that's going after somebody else. Amen? I don't want to be an enemy of yours, God. I don't want to be someone that you got to, my teeth got to be broken, so to speak, to get that bite out of me. I don't want to bite anybody anymore. Amen? I don't want to evaluate everything and look how detailed and what I know and then call that discernment. Amen? I don't want to use my brain to try to even begin to take the place of God as the judge. Amen? I want to be led by His Spirit. I want to be obedient. I want to pray and intercede. I want to minister. I want to point out what He wants me to point out to help people. Amen? But how many know that God is always, always wanting all of mankind to win? God's not on your side. God wants you on His. Amen? God's not on your side. God wants you on His. How do you get on His? You agree with Him. And then you have mercy and you pray and you ask God to help people. Amen? And so the way you stop sinning with these attitude sins is, first of all, you have to recognize it as sin. Amen? You have to recognize it as prideful. And then once you do that, you really repent. Amen. You really repent. God, I sincerely cannot come up with, I do not even want one excuse or justification for thinking like this anymore. I don't want one excuse or justification for trying to figure everything out. I was one of the worst. I understand Paul when he gets to the latter part of his life where he started off thinking he was great. And he goes, I'm worse than the worst sinner. You know, really, we are worse than the worst sinner when we hang on to these attitudes. Why? Because we have God. Why do we expect anything from people who don't know God? And yet we want to tear them apart and judge them. Entire nations we tear apart and judge. And the truth is they don't know God. That's why Paul can say, I'm the worst of the worst. God, I know you. You've used me. I've seen miracles. I've seen healings. And yet, look at these attitudes in my heart. Get them out. That's why Paul writes so many of these letters like, get rid of this, get rid of this, get rid of this. How we get rid of it And this is anything he shows you. First of all, we quit blaming anybody, looking around and comparing ourselves. Amen? We go before God and we say, this is against you. You're the only judge. And Lord, I don't want my reasoning, my carnal reasoning, to cause me to sin. Amen? Father, I want my brain to work the way you created it to work. Amen? I want my brain to be able to go to Scripture and to be able to express myself in a way to help other people know who you are. Lord, I want my brain to be able to work in such a way that I can know what a good airline ticket is and a bad airline ticket is. Amen? How to budget and how to drive the car. Okay, I want my brain. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? But I don't want the carnal reasoning that takes the place of being led by the Holy Spirit. The two can look the same, but they never are the same. Amen? I don't want to be someone who investigates and examines everything and tries to find fault. I don't want to scrutinize. I don't want to, look what this politician did, and ooh, look what this politician did, ooh, look what this celebrity did, and ooh, I don't want any part of it. I just want to pray and believe, and when God shows me something, I want to intercede. I want to stop what the enemy's up to, and I don't want people to be the enemy. The enemy is the enemy. He's a spiritual being. Amen? He's the only real enemy. When we scrutinize, we've made people the enemy. But when we cross over into this looking for critical things to be critical about, and that leads to gossip, all the other junk, but what we actually do is we use our carnal reasoning to be the judge. And we get out of God's favor, we get out of God's will, we can fall back into all kinds of gossip and garbage. We also open the door for other people to do that to us. And we have no defense. We have no defense because we've used the same things. One of the greatest things about being made holy by God is that it takes the weapons out of the hand of the enemy against us. Amen? And you can know that. Nobody's going to ever be able to go and investigate me and try to look for the wrong and do these things. Why? Because I've come to God and I got it out of my heart. Satan can only come at you with what's in you that he put there. That's the beauty and the freedom of true sanctification. It's like, yes! Thank you, Jesus. Amen? And so, we're going to break the power of it. We're going to renounce it. Now, here's how it works. You got to really hate it. And that may take you going home and spending some time and having God show you where you've done this. This is what you did about a mother-in-law. This is what you did about one of your kids that's always in trouble. This is what you did about your spouse or somebody in school or somebody you didn't like or the pastor. Never, you guys. No, but you know what I'm saying? And it's like, Lord, this is not my business. This is not for me to go along with this line of reasoning that Satan is trying to use. And how many know in politics right now, this is really big. This is attacking all of us. Unless you just don't watch anything, this is attacking all of us. And we need to be above it. Amen? We need to be light in darkness. We need to be above it, and we need to pray, and we need to break the power. We need to break the power of these things as we intercede and stand in the gap for those who aren't yet in a place with God to be able to do this themselves. Amen? And we can do this for our children too. The cool thing, when we get free from this stuff, it begins automatically to set our children free. And all of a sudden, they start changing and they start seeing things different. It's just quite amazing. I realized in this whole thing with my tooth, I was very critical of the church. When my kids, we were very active in church, my husband and I, once we came back to the Lord and really got really excited about the Lord and really got born again and spirit-filled, we never missed services. We were active in everything. And our kids went to Christian school and all these things. But my kids would come home, and not their dad, because my husband is the most uncritical person. He's more self-critic than anybody else critic. And so I'd come home like, I can't believe, why did they preach that? And I can't believe why they did this. I was so critical. And was I right? Yeah, about a lot of the doctrine. It was wrong doctrine that was being preached. Was it my heart attitude right? No. No, my heart attitude wasn't right. And it has affected my kids and how they see church. Not how they see Jesus, but how they see church. And And my one son, you know, if they say something that's not right on, you know, he doesn't even want to go there. Well, I hate to tell everybody, but you're not going to find anywhere to go if you're waiting for the church that has perfect doctrine yet. Amen? And so I'm like, God, you know, have mercy. God, please, I've asked you to, you really bring my sons and knit them into a church that you have for them. And I see now that this me being critical and scrutinizing everything the pastors did or the leaders did, Lord, this was a spirit operating in me. There was true discernment, but this was a critical thing that got on top of that and turned people off to God and to church and my own kids, right? Does anybody get what I'm saying? And so it's like, Lord, get this out of my heart. Get this out of my heart. Forgive me. Forgive me. Ah, how many know he knows where you're at when you're there? Isn't he amazing, his mercy? Isn't he amazing? So my thing, I'm not into condemnation. I'm not beating myself up. What the enemy had in me to cause problems in my family, God is greater. Amen? God's going to turn this stuff around in a powerful way. And so, Lord, I want this stuff out of my heart. Amen? So the first thing is to really take some time and really see where it's affected your life. Amen? Not just, okay, I did an altar call. There's no altar calls like that in the Bible. But there is understanding that if you let God use this preaching to bust through and make you hate what he hates, amen? So you say, Lord, I really hate that. I see where I do that. And ask Holy Spirit, Lord, make me sensitive to when I start to do that. Amen? And then all of a sudden you're like, ooh, I didn't know I thought like that so much. I didn't know I did that so much. Amen? How many know he's so good at bringing to our remembrance those things that he's like, would you put this under the blood? Would you put this under the blood? Would you put this under the blood? Isn't it awesome that we have a Jesus that's going, would you please put this under the blood so we can keep having powerful fellowship? Would you please put this under the blood so that you can have prayers that are righteous? Could you put this under the blood so that you can have a sphere of influence that I have for your life that's going to impact more people? Amen? Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Amen? If you're not thanking God for the blood, I wonder if you're really letting God deal with your heart issues. Amen? And so it's like, Lord, we just thank you for that. So we repent. We really take some time to think about how it's hurt people and hurt us. We ask God to really seriously forgive us, and we mean it. And then if we see ourselves trying to act in that way again, we stop ourselves. You stop that reasoning. You refuse to go there. You put on praise music. You do a tap dance, whatever you want to do. But you're like, no, I'm not going to enter into that conversation. I'm not going to think there. You can actually control your carnal reasoning, people. Amen? What's the Bible call it? Cast down imaginations. It's a weapon of warfare. Okay, I'm not thinking about that. I mean, some of you need to do this until it's like, okay, no matter how much you try to make me think about this devil, I'm not doing it. No, I'm not talking about that person. I'm not thinking about that. None of my business. None of my business. None of my business. Not doing it. Going to pray for them. Going to pray for them. None of my business. Praise God. Help, help. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Until you have that breakthrough, and it really, you don't even think like that anymore. Amen. Amen. And so you recognize if there's spirits, say, Lord, I want these things out of me in Jesus' name. I take authority of this. So we're going to pray corporately, and then we're going to break up into groups, okay? Father, we just thank you that you truly are the only righteous judge. Father, you truly are the only one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When I say God, I'm talking Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Godhead. So God, you are the only one who knows every single thing in somebody's heart, every single thing in their family line, every single thing that has ever come into their eye gates and their ear gates. God, you're the only one who knows everything that the enemy has set up against that person. God, you are the only one, the only one who can be their judge. So I want you to say, Heavenly Father, please forgive me for helping the enemy by being critical and scrutinizing. Wow. Lord, I ask you to get this out of my heart. I break the power of a critical spirit. I break the power of reasoning that looks for faults. I break the power of wanting to say, aha, I knew it. Oh, Lord, I want the evil eye completely out of my heart. Lord, I want to be holy because you're holy. I want to believe the best. I want to be merciful. And I want to be led by your Spirit. Father, you know everything. You know what unconditional love looks like. Even your judgments are full of unconditional love. So, Lord, I ask you to set me free from this judgmental spirit, this critical spirit, and this scrutinizing, examining spirit. In Jesus' mighty and powerful name. Amen. Amen. Wow. Oh, I can feel it. Some of y'all are going to have a fun week because I'm going to show you some of this stuff. And in love, help each other. Like, don't judge each other and scrutinize each other, but really say, you know, I don't think we ought to have this conversation. Or, you know, I'm not even going to think about that anymore. You know, let's just pray about that. And I'm not trying to say control. I'm saying get it out of your heart where it's not even part of who you are anymore. Amen? Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.